This episode of Scott Church American Photographer is brought to you by the Downtown Lounge, America's premier sports bar. Thank you very much. Actually, it's just Lebanon's premier sports bar, but hey, you know what? You got to have a goal for something, right?
Nice.
All right, so you just went to Paris.
I did. That's affirmative. Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna jump right back into my story about the Palace of Versailles.
So you mentioned the Palace of Versailles.
Yeah. So that was the top of one of my friends' lists of places to go, and so we said, okay, we have to go there. So we went, and of course it was super crowded, which that wasn't actually the part that like struck me. It was how empty it felt. How empty and like beautiful. Beautiful but empty, you know? And
did it almost feel cold?
Yes.
Yeah.
There were maybe one or two spaces that felt not like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was just like this big, empty piece of architecture. And then you go to Sacré-Cœur.
And then it's like your entire
body is just being infused by this positive energy. It's like, you know, it just really speaks to the difference in, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a religious person, so I can't.
Nor am I. Yeah.
I can't say, but I can say that when a bunch of, you know, positive energy is left in a space, that's like my happy place.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paris is full of that. They're because of the age, because of the history. Like, we think about, like, American history.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blip.
Yeah, right. It's a fraction. It's
yeah.
a fraction of...
You know, you walk around places like Paris or London, and it goes back, you know, 1,000 years.
Right.
Like, nothing.
Right. Like, there were weird things that I found really charming that, like, really got to me. We did the Seine tour, you know, going
okay.
down. The,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the part that I loved most, which is so odd because it's, like, homeless people, really, that's, like, their jam. But it was looking out on the bank and seeing, like, the stairs that come down to the river.
Yeah.
And, like, the pathways that go through that. To me,
yes.
Something about that just felt so integrally Paris, Parisian, you know? It was like something that you could almost feel all of the different walks of life that had gone through there over
right.
how many years, you know?
The first time I went to Paris was 2015. I'm not sure. Somewhere right around there. But it was flooded. The river was so high the boats couldn't go through under
the
bridges.
Of the bridges, yeah.
It was all like up, and it was crazy. And I had never been to Paris before, so I had no point of reference otherwise until I went back again to see, because that river is a huge marketplace. You know, they have so much going on, you know, on the landing, because the water's normally much lower. And when I was there, it was so high and everybody was freaking out. And it's like, well
why?
Yeah. You know, but all of these boats were stuck in between, like wherever your boat was.
That's where you were.
You were just stuck. It was, and they were like stacked out from the edge because they couldn't go anywhere because they couldn't fit under the bridge. It was weird. It was a weird way to see Paris the first time, and then to go back again to see how it normally is, you know, with so much activity going on the river, you know, that just wasn't happening because it was so flooded the first time that I went there.
Yeah.
Did you get to do any street shooting while you were there?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was my favorite part.
Yeah.
And people were so respectful about it too.
Oh yeah. It
seems
was
really
like it's probably very common.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. We ended up doing light painting, and it's my most watched reel. It has like 178,000 views. And Russell Klimas, my friend who does light painting, he did this amazing shoot with me in front of the Louvre. And perfect timing, not one single person was there. We had the entire, every frame, there wasn't a person in it except for me and the light.
Well, a lot of that is the length of the exposure, too.
Oh, yeah.
Even if somebody walked through, in the amount of time that you had to spend with the
right,
camera
right.
open, they're not going to show up. Like, you showed up because you have light on you. And you're standing still, you know. But anybody that was just walking through behind or around, they're going to be at best a blur in the background with that long of an exposure, because that's how that sort of thing's done.
Right.
But if you catch it at the right time, you're not going to get any people there either.
Yeah, and that was what was blowing my mind. I was like, how am I standing here?
Right.
And I'm going to cry because I'm standing here looking at this, and then it lit up because it had not been lit up for the first portion of us shooting.
Yeah.
And then it finally lit up and I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to actually have a breakdown because this is so stunning. But the fact that there weren't that many people there, and then at one point there weren't people there and it was just us, it was so surreal. Be in one of the most coveted places for art.
Yeah.
And be outside and have it to yourself. Mm-hmm.
When it's open, it's packed.
Oh, yeah.
There's people everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was sad we were going to shoot in front of the pyramids, but they were shutting things down. That was the other part about being there during Fashion Week. Like, different things were... Some things were open, some things were getting shut down. There was also like a rugby tournament or something.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was just
what a
lot.
Combination.
Yeah. And that's funny because they were set up on the one side of the field by the Eiffel Tower, and then L'Oreal set their stage up under the Eiffel Tower for Kendall Jenner's walk.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw
any
of that, but apparently a little controversial.
Tell me the story about how you ended up going and what you were actually doing there.
Okay, so have to back up. So the main designer that I have been sort of traveling with to the different cities for the Fashion Week shows, her name is Barbie. She runs Homespun Heart. She makes the giant angel wings.
Okay.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
So... earlier this year, after I attended Shutterfest, I was able to do a shoot with her wings. I hadn't met her yet, but we did a shoot. She posted it to her page, and that's how I ended up following her. So then I saw when she was casting for Miami. And I had done runway for a few years, but nothing really major. And a lot of that was being told that I wouldn't get cast, I would never do it, et cetera,
sure.
et cetera. So... when that came up...
the whole alternative model thing. And
Just that. I mean, I'm 6'1", but I'm very curvy. So, like, I cross over all of these different... most super tall models are not quite as curvy as I am. Most curvy models are shorter. So, they end up doing more, like, print and, in, like, the glamour world. So, here I am. I kind of, like, cross over all of these things. And I've always wanted to do runway. So
right.
I took the opportunity. I asked her. She ended up casting me. So I went to Miami. So that was an amazing experience. But that was just, you know, I only walked for her. So then after we finished Miami, she posted that she was going to Paris. And I was like, wow. I can't even imagine. Like, not only walking in Paris, but like going. I mean, both things were
right.
equally mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Paris... and being in a runway show in Paris. And so I talked to her. I ended up, she cast me after, you know, I had just walked for her once and she cast me to do Paris. And in the meantime, in between the two shows was New York. And so it just sort of became this thing. Like, just I approached her about walking in Miami. And from that and from solid networking and communicating with different people, I ended up casting for her show and a different show in New York. And then I ended up walking for like two more major productions while
right.
I was there. And then moving on to Paris, from following some of those people, another designer had reached out to me to walk in Paris. So I ended up walking for, I think, 4 designers.
No kidding.
In Paris, yeah.
That's wonderful. Awesome. That's wonderful.
So I went from never really having done a major Fashion Week show to doing 3 major Fashion Week shows, walking for almost probably, I don't know, 15 designers all told.
Outstanding.
So I'm officially a part of the I don't know, the seasons now, I guess. It's easier for me to cast, you know, so we're already casting for New York in February. So, and there we have it.
Fucking cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's a 43-year-old heavily tattooed.
Oh my god, we're the same age. Oh, look at us go.
Right?
We don't, both of us don't look our age.
Not even a little bit.
No.
I had no idea.
I had no idea either. That's so funny because as soon as you say your age, people are like,
what?
Shut up.
No.
No, I will not shut up. I'm right. Telling you, that's how old I am. Right. That's awesome.
Take care of yourself. Drink your water.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a fantastic shoot today. We've got the repping the 40s.
Yeah, no shit. Well, both of you are in, like, the serious prime of your career, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, I've got my national campaign going on.
You have a national billboard campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, stop. Just stop. Tell that story.
Okay.
Tell that story.
Okay, so... rewind 6 years ago, and I had a dinner meeting with my friend Troy, who owns Villain Arts, and at dinner, I said, I would really like for you to consider me as a model for anything advertising-wise, and he said that he would keep me in mind, but he has always used art for the entire time that he's been doing conventions, which I believe
this is... Right, he's never put models in his advertising before at all.
Never. And this, I believe, is his 25th year in Philly. Or maybe last year was the 25th year. All I know is he's been doing this for a while, and he's never used models. Fast forward 6 years later, and I receive a random text from him, and all it says is... would you mind if I bought some nice photos of you to use for billboards and digital art? See, I'm speechless right now. Like, how do you appropriately respond to that without peeing your pants? Yes, yes, you can have all the pictures.
Right.
So we kind of went into it blindly. We had an idea. We knew... it needed to be able to be photoshopped into any type of background. But really, we...
All right, give me some credit here.
No, you did.
You came to me and said,
yeah,
can we do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course I said yes, because I love you. And then...
And on top of that, he happened to mention you or some models... And I had sent that to Ashley, and Ashley immediately was like, oh my God, pick me. And I was like, who else would I pick other than my bougie twin, my twin flame, my soulmate? Of course I'm going to pick her. So that's when we approached you, and we did it, and we kicked ass.
Yeah, it was fucking amazing.
It was so stressful.
We heard nothing.
Heard nothing.
For months. He was
so busy doing so many shows, though. And I felt so bad every time I texted him because I was just like, hey, it's little. Right. Checking in to see how this is going. I didn't want to interrupt him during shows because he is so busy during these shows.
Yeah.
And just so for anyone who isn't aware, Villain Arts is the largest tattoo company in the United States that puts on conventions.
How many Philly different states do they
have? They added more this year.
I believe there's 50, around 50 maybe. between 2023 and 2024. I mean, there's going to be billboards in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Two cities in Alaska.
They went to Canada. They're going to
for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Canada. They did the, wasn't that a Villain Arts?
I don't
Do you know, what is her name? I'll think of it in a second. She has black and white hair and split tongue. She's in Canada. I swear they did a convention in Canada also.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, it's all over the place. But
it is all over the place. And the funny thing is that all of a sudden I just started getting these random DMs and random messenger messages.
That's the best part of the story, is how you found out.
Yes. I didn't even know that he had picked the photos and that the billboards had gone up until I started receiving all these DMs, texts, and messenger messages that were photographs of these billboards. And they were like, holy crap, that's you. And I was like, oh my God, that is me. He did it. He picked us. We did it. We're up on billboards.
I love that.
And I was so happy.
We hadn't gotten paid for the job yet. We hadn't had any confirmation that he was going to use anything anywhere at all. We heard nothing after we sent the pictures in. He did
say we were going in the right direction.
Right.
That was our feedback that we got. And we were like, okay. Maybe work with that.
and then she sends me the picture. And she sends me the picture of this billboard with her and Ashley on it from the New Jersey show that somebody had sent to her saying, oh my God, there you are. And that's how we found out about it.
Yeah, and then one of my piercer friends, Erica Gomez, who I love more than anything, she lives in San Diego, and I got a tag on Instagram that I was in a story, and sure enough, she posted a story for the San Diego billboard, and she was like, my wife from another life. I was driving down the road, and I was surprised to see my wife from another life on a billboard.
I love it.
And it's insane.
It's a whole thing. Like I said, you're both at this amazing arc up in your careers, and it's just awesome to watch. It's just the best thing in the whole world.
I feel this is the most confident I've ever felt about my appearance, about my work. I feel that I am so in tune with myself, and I don't lower my standards. I've been told by many people, maybe you need to lower your standards. And I'm like, no, maybe you need to get a life, because I will not lower my standards.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't work out, then it didn't work out because it didn't meet my standards.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to uphold everything to. Whether it's dating, whether it's work, whether it's friendships. If it's not up to my standards, I'm not going to put that energy into it.
Same.
Because you're not going to get the investment and the return. Why bother? Back.
I'm too damn busy to be investing in something that's, you know, I'm just throwing energy into something and getting nothing back. I get that.
Yes.
Is it because the community around here, what's the problem with tattooed models?
That is a question that I would very much like to know myself.
Because I love them, obviously. Okay. Y'all would crash out on my couch right now. And obviously, you know, a good majority of my portfolio is working with alternative models. And it has been for years.
So that's an interesting question, actually. Because as a tattooed model, I tend to not give a fuck. Like, if there is a door that I want to walk through, and previously it has been exclusive to the non-tattooed community, I'm for damn sure still going to knock. And I'm going to show up, and I'm going to say, hey, what do you think? You know, because that's who I am. Right. I spent a lot of time in my life being afraid or listening to other people tell me what I could and couldn't do. And I've just gotten to the point where, like, I know that I look at myself and I also look at you, like, We're beautiful women. Our tattoos are beautiful. There is nothing that would, you know, preclude from modeling with fashion or modeling, you know, doing runway.
Right. Right.
So a lot of those doors that we normally were, you know, kind of shoved away from, I'm just not doing that. I'm not playing that game anymore.
Right.
You know?
I think that there's a lot of difficulty in at least our community, with people having an intimidation factor. And I can use myself as an example for this. Scott has an art show that he does every first Friday in January.
Did.
And it's called Legacy. And every year that I went, I was introduced to so many photographers and models that I had no idea who they were, and they all knew who I was, and they all knew my, they were familiar with my work.
Yeah.
And they, I could see them shaking.
Yeah.
I could see them shaking, and they were like, I just wanted to introduce myself to you because I've admired your work for so long, but I've been too afraid to approach you. And I'm like, but why?
Right.
Because, I mean, you know me. Yeah. I'm the most bubbly, laughing nonstop.
You're the most one of the most approachable people that I've ever met in my life.
Yes. My personality is so warm and inviting, and I like to enjoy myself during shoots. I like
purposely
to make sure
happy.
Yes. Yes. It's a very positive experience. Mm-hmm. There's no diva. Is it humble if you say you're humble?
I don't know.
I think you can be objective. I think you can objective.
I am the best humble.
But I personally feel that I'm a humble person because I still get confused when people are intimidated or impressed or they just want to meet you because they want to meet you because you're this beautiful tattooed creature that is exotic to look at and they want to know more, but they're afraid.
Meanwhile, you throw yourself into an event like Mega Glam or some other, you know, shootout event and you're watching people, you know,
get
book their
booked,
schedules for
and it's tough for us. And I say us as Ashley and I, because her and I are the ones that had the most conversations about this specific event and how do we as models, alternative models, fit into this event.
Right.
This year is definitely the year that they have the most tattooed models in Mega Glam, which I'm so pleased with, and I'm so happy to see that. It just makes my heart melt. But the thing is no one approaches me. I have to go out of my way to approach photographers, and then I feel like I'm almost whoring myself out.
Yeah, but it's crazy because
just,
you do the most work for the people that you're working with. Your publication list is insane.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly putting yourself out there for publication. And it's not like other models aren't doing that. Of course they are. But to the extent that you're doing it, and the connections that you have built within the tattoo community and the publication community are immense. And shooting with you is basically guaranteeing yourself a publication, if not a fucking cover.
Yeah.
And you know,
Stace calls me his cheat code.
Yeah.
He said, you're a cheat code. Anyone who wants to do anything in that area, this is your 100% cheat code.
Completely. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Because you just, in my own experience, forget about the nationwide billboard campaign that my work is now, you know, currently
We're
occupying.
Everywhere.
Forget about that. But the number of times that you've gotten me published in magazines that I didn't even know existed, much less, you know, where I would think to send my work to.
Absolutely.
The list is long. Yeah. And for that to be so hard for people to get, now.
It's almost hurtful. It really takes a hit to your pride, because I wouldn't like to think that I'm a prideful person, but I have enough pride that it hurts, because I don't understand. I do have such an intensely strong portfolio, and I do have these accomplishments that are not just Mad Cloud publications, but right. I mean, I've been in Barnes & Noble so many times, and Target. Yeah, I mean,
these tattoo magazines, a lot of them are major, still to this day, major print absolutely. Runs. You know, it's...
I have one coming out soon!
What do you got?
With our work!
Lovely.
Yes! Look at that. It's Tattoo Review, issue 194. They're having issues with the printer, and once they get it situated, then the issue's going to come out. And we have... Well, I don't know what the front and back covers are. They don't tell me that.
So we could have a cover?
So we could have another cover. But I do get input on what is on the inside, and I did, because I have, again, those standards,
right?
And I know what I want out there representing my brand, and what I want people to see across the country who don't know me, what my brand is. I made them redo it 3 times before I approved a proof, and it actually came down to, okay, go to your Dropbox and tell us which photos to use.
Right.
And I said, okay. So I did. I went through and I picked out which photos I wanted them to use. And then they picked from those photos. And then I told them, please, no weird cropping.
Right.
Because there had been some weird cropping going on. And I am not a fan whenever they crop photos, let alone in a weird way, where it's like cutting you off in a strange place.
Right.
We won't talk about the purple cover. Those that know, know.
Yes, yes.
Still proud of the cover.
Still proud as heck about that. Still proud as heck, but still questioning it to this day. Just a little bit. But in the tattoo industry, I'm insanely welcomed. I have an award-winning body full of tattoos, and I've spent 25 years collecting them, and I've spent 9 years working with the removery. For every 6 weeks, for 9 straight years, I went faithfully every 6 weeks for that many years to lighten tattoos, to cover them up with art from artists I never would have been able to collect from, because I'm so fully covered. So I was like, well, I'm gonna have to make room for you. So let's keep the lasering coming. So yeah, in the tattoo world, I'm very well accepted. In the modeling world, it's still a stigma, and I don't understand why, because it's so prevalent everywhere you go. Doctors have full sleeves.
Right.
Lawyers have full sleeves. They're still professionals. They still cover them up, but they have them, and it doesn't lessen their ability to do their job or be professional, just as it doesn't lessen my ability or your ability to be a professional non-diva model to give you a beautiful set, or 2 or 3 or 4, however many we shoot that day, you're gonna get quality. So I don't understand why it's so difficult to find the work. Why do I have to chase it? Why do you have to chase it?
No, that's what the funny, well, here's the thing. I can't speak for a non-tattooed model, so I can't speak to how much work they have to do and don't have to do.
This is true.
But I do know, listening to you talk about the work that you're, I'm like, heard, you know, that's like, yeah, that's definitely the train that I'm on, you know, like,
yeah. We have to knock on those doors.
Right. But the thing is, you know, and I mentor younger models and newer models, and not all of them are, you know, they're just models. They're just getting started or whatever. And I tell them the same thing. If you want to do work, you have to, if you want to do work, you have to do work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like, in a lot of what we're doing, we're selling. I mean, you said it earlier, you feel like you're whoring yourself, but to a certain extent, it's not whoring ourselves. It's what you just said about your brand. You know, you have your brand, I have my brand. We have to sell it in order, you know, and by selling it, I don't always mean, you know, I still, you know, do lots of trade shoots and creating art.
Absolutely.
But moving into new spaces, definitely, it's just like anything else. I mean, we have to sell ourselves. We have to tell people why this is worth it. And the funny thing is, as a model, sometimes it's like, well, it's right there. You know, it seems like the most obvious thing in the world. I have, you know, you have thousands of photos. I have a couple hundred. But it's, you can see it. I shouldn't have to say anything to you. You see what the product is.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the outcome. This is what you're going to get.
Right.
But why don't you want that?
I think what's interesting,
why don't you want that?
What I try to remember is each photographer, each brand, each designer, everyone has, it's all art, right?
Exactly.
It's all art, and it's all so subjective that I try to remember that even though I have like knocked however many other shoots out of the park, for that one artist, they still need reassurance. They still need to know, why is working with me beneficial? What can I do for their brand? What can I do for their fashion? What can I do for their portfolio? You know, if it's just another photographer. But I try to remember that, like, it might not be the tattoos. It might just be someone who's looking for something. And because, like, here's the thing, especially in runway, I am the first to say, oh, I didn't get picked because I have tattoos, or I didn't get picked because I'm not, you know, a size 00 or whatever. But what it comes down to is, it's one fit, you know, a designer has 40 fits or whatever that they're putting out on the runway. Each person that they have wearing that fit is creating a whole vibe. You know what I mean? So when that person, when I walk down the runway in a specific fit, like, that is perhaps the only time that fit is being, that's like their debut in New York, their debut in Paris. And this, the world has now just seen their design. And, you know, some designers, maybe they don't want tattoos. And that's okay. Maybe
is okay.
Maybe they don't want a brunette. Maybe they don't want a blonde. It doesn't matter. Whatever the image is in their head that they have, I might not fit it, but it's maybe not personal, you know? So I try to just keep looking for those that, like, I can't, because there's so much, you know? There's so much. We can all eat out here. That's the other thing. Like, with not being a diva, I don't compare either, and I won't do like the competition with that, because
absolutely not.
I can't be you. You can't be me.
There's no point in wasting that type of energy when you can be taking that positive energy and using it to and go just knock down continuing, those other doors,
continuing to work.
Yeah,
it's so tough for me. Well, all right, not necessarily tough for me, because I look at it as, diversity in my portfolio is one of the most important things that I can possibly bring to the table. Being able to work with anybody and make them happy and make them feel beautiful, make them make beautiful work with them, no matter what they're bringing to the table, is one of my, that's who I am, you know, that's my stamp, you know. And when I try to tell other photographers the importance of, you know, not working with the same kind of models every time that you work, you know, especially when you're trying to build your portfolio, you have to try to work with a lot of different kinds of people.
Or even if you're using the same people, you need to be more dynamic in your choice in what you're doing.
Very good.
And that is one of the most things that I'm super proud of, is that I'm a collaborator.
Right.
I come with ideas, with styling, with makeup and hair.
Exactly.
I have visions and collaborate with the photographer, and that then brings that same magic.
And that's how, that's what I loved when I first...
Yeah, goosebumps again!
When I first was told that, you know, like, I got introduced to you kind of through shooting with Scott, and I heard, me. And so, like, I looked at you, I was just riveted. I'm just, like, scrolling your page.
Goosebumps!
But the cool thing was, I could relate. You know, we both have this way of, like, from one set to the next, we're completely different people.
It's almost like we aren't, the same person. You look at it and you're like, are you Gary Oldman in Because I can't tell if that's you or you or you or you, because you're like a chameleon.
And that's, I think,
is key.
Our goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think that any model worth his or her salt should be able to get in front of a camera and play pretend. Go somewhere else. Become someone else.
Yes.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
Yes. Have a plan. Execute the plan. And in that, tell the story.
Tell the damn story. Every photo.
Yes. And it's funny because all the photographers that I work with know this, but, and you probably saw the way that my Instagram is set up, I work in sets of three because I want to tell a cohesive story with that set. So whether it's 3, 6, 9, or 12, I'm telling a story within that set on my Instagram.
Exactly.
And that is what I aim for. And I know that sometimes it's frustrating for the photographers because I'm like asking for more. But in the end, they see what my vision was, and then they were in turn happy that they did it.
Yeah.
Because it got the response that it got.
Do you ever feel like, because I feel this way often, and Scott's experienced this with me, like I am not, I don't know when the switch happened. I was going to say I never have been, but I'm sure at some point I was. Like I speak up, and I'm sure that you do too, but it's almost like directing from our side as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a skill not everyone gets right away. You know what I mean? Whether it's they aren't quite comfortable with line of sight and perspective and lighting, and they can't quite see the whole picture as it is. But once you get to that place, you can feel it. You know when you need to shift something.
Yes. That moment whenever you're modeling and you're doing your thing and the photographer goes to say, can you... Oh, you just already did it.
Yep.
Yes. And I'm like, I got you. I got you. I know. I'm always going to be 10 steps ahead of you. I know what you're thinking because we're doing the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. It is such a rare thing for a photographer to be that in sync.
Yes.
With a model, especially these people that live in group settings, that live in shootout settings, where they're doing, you know, this work, and we were talking about, you know, the event coming up, you know, I don't connect with people right in those sort of situations. I connect with people when I'm working with them.
Right.
You know, slowly.
Right.
When I'm getting to know them, when I'm getting, you know, that full experience, you know, and it's so lacking, and it's probably one of the reasons that it's so hard for people to see past, you know, I need this cookie cutter model to do this.
Yes.
Because you're trapped in this overwhelming atmosphere to begin with.
And then you have photographers that have like, they almost won't sway from their settings, their light positions,
right.
Strict posing. You know, they just haven't been able to move past that. Maybe it's because that's worked for them a lot. I don't know.
I will say there is one specific photographer who is an exception to that, and that is Tidy. Tidy will shoot an entire set with one light set up in one way, and you get the most amazing sets back from him, where if you are good at what you do and you can knock those poses out of the park, his one setup will give you magic, and it's unbelievable. But he knows how to make it work. And right. You as the experienced model. And he's also asking model,
a lot from the people that he's yes. photographing. Because he keeps it so simple, it's really about...
the model.
You. Yeah.
It is. And you are in the moment like, okay, I got to come up with another pose. Oh my God, what do I do with my arms? I already did this with my arms. Now what do I do with my legs? Oh, what am I doing?
You know it's great though? You do those enough times and suddenly you have this amazing repertoire of like, oh, okay, so I've already done that with my... Let's shift the shoulders. Yes. Let's move yes. the hips. Let's, you know, and then like... you can bounce into like some really crazy editorial yeah, poses.
Absolutely.
Like, but I feel like on the model end, some of the, you know, it just gets kind of stale and stagnant unless you get really creative. I saw this great thing that said something about looking dumb isn't like a bad trait. It's like all successful people have, you know, look dumb. We just all take turns looking dumb. So like it really, I laughed at it because I thought of how many times I'll try a pose like, no, that didn't work. But I tried it.
But you tried it.
But I tried yeah. it. Yeah.
And when it does work,
right,
it becomes part of the act. It becomes yes. part of the repertoire.
Exactly. And part of the story.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll try some shit and I'm like, I don't know. Did that look right? And then we look at it and it's like, yep. Yeah.
Or, nah.
Yeah, no. No, you can go in and just delete let's, yeah, that let's just read from the camera. I don't want to see that on the computer. Right. Don't.
That happens too.
That happens yeah. too.
But and it happens for photographers too, you know. Yeah. Well, I so many times when I have an idea for something before a shoot.
Mm.
Like, I'll have it all mapped out in my head. I'll know exactly how, you know, this light's going to go here. And then the first test shot with the model in the spot where I want it to be, it's like...
this doesn't look right.
What the fuck was I thinking? This is ridiculous. It's terrible. And then I'll walk around to the other side of the set and look at it and just look yeah. at it. And I'll see it in a completely different way. And that'll be the shot. But I won't know it until
you try.
I won't know it until I'm actually collaborating with the people that I'm working with. And because the models truly bring life to the stories yes. that I'm trying to tell.
And I would like to throw in on that note, I think the reason why you and I have such an intense portfolio together, that wow people, that wow factor, is because we've shot in your studio where you have shot every set a million times. And when I come in there, we're like, what can we do different with Mimi? How can we make Mimi's set completely different than everyone else's? And bam, it just comes out of somewhere between you, me, and Ashley. When Ashley's with us, we come up with such creative ways to use space
yeah.
and light. That it's like, how did we get that set, those photos, those baller photos from the same set that everyone uses and everyone gets the same photos from, and we found that one
right.
awesome special yes that the when I brought up I wanted to do the nude book with you.
Yeah.
And you said, let's start on the roof. And I said, absolutely. And I, goosebumps again, I look at those photos on a regular basis and I'm just like, the way that we shot it, the way that it's posed in the locations, the one that you did, the only one that you did in color
yeah.
is so moving when you look at it. Like, you can interpret it in so many different ways. Is she melancholy? Is she dreaming of a lover? Is she just relaxing? Like, what is going on in her mind? Everyone
that sees that photo, especially in particular, has a different story exactly. than they think the photo is trying to tell. And those are the best.
Yes. Because
you can totally have a story in your head that you're trying to get out. But none of that matters when someone else looks at it and can interpret yeah. it in their own way. And that makes it special for each person yes. that looks at the photo.
And then you're moving those people. Mm. You're giving them that joy, that feeling, that elation of like, what a stunning piece of art.
Right.
And yes, I just wanted to go off of that. I wanted to piggyback off of that. I just feel like when you and I are together, and this is the same when I saw, when he pulled out his phone when we were shooting, and he was like, I gotta show you something. And I was like, yeah, bring it, let me see. And he showed me your photos, and I was just blown away. When you get those models that are as experienced and talented and have the portfolios that we have and the creativity that we can bring, it's just taking that photographer's work and your work to a completely different level.
Right.
It's a completely different, off the charts vibe that no other person can recreate, nor can that model or that photographer recreate with a different photographer right. or different model. It was that moment in time that you hit that magic spot. And we have that dynamic.
Yeah.
And you guys clearly have that dynamic as well.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of when we were supposed to shoot, the first shoot we did, and we were supposed to shoot on the stage, and I sat on the edge of the tub, and I said, oh, Scott.
And there it was.
And there it was. That one got put, that set got published.
Look, love, man, it's invaluable when you find a muse, when you find the right person to speak your voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm starting to tear up. Stop. This is how I feel. This is what I want to be. This is what I strive for.
And I can see the sun coming out it behind is. Me, and I think that we should go shoot and stop okay. this whole podcast bullshit. But before we do, both y'all, tell everyone how they find you.
I am Mimi Fulton. You can find me on Instagram at mimi.fulton. You can also find my professional website at www.mimifulton.com.
Amazing. I am Ryan Rain. You can find me on Instagram at...
And spell it.
Oh, say, so it's RyanReign, reigning like a queen. But it's that XX. So Ryan Rain XX on Instagram. It's the same name on like Facebook, and my website's the same.
Kick ass. This was amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy that I thought to, you know, record this, because we were already having this conversation before y'all got to join in, and now we just did. And thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you.
That's the show.
Okay. Let's go make some magic.